Jesus Christ came as an invited guest to the wedding at Cana. And with his gracious presence, he brought joy and gladness to those who were there. Jesus is also with us, who have gathered here in his name to celebrate with the word of God in prayer the marriage of Janice Riley and Paul Goddard. Let us pray. Loving Father, we are gracious for your goodness in permitting us to gather as the family and friends of Janice and Paul to share their joy on this special day. Look on them with favor, strengthen their confidence in your firm promises, and assure them of your abiding love. As your Son Jesus graced the wedding at Cana with his presence, so may he be with us who pray in his name, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We turn our attention to three portions of God's word for our guidance on this occasion. First, we turn to the first book of Scripture in Genesis chapter 2, where God establishes marriage and family. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave name to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The word of the Lord. The second lesson that we turn our attention to comes from the first letter of St. John, in which John describes Christian love, love that we demonstrate throughout our lives, but love that especially is demonstrated in Christian marriage. And St. John points out that the source and power for Christian love in whatever situation we find ourselves, especially in marriage, is the love that God has for us through his Son, Jesus. We read from 1 John chapter 4. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." The word of the Lord. Our third and final scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus quotes the first lesson that we heard, where God established marriage and pointed out that this is not simply a human arrangement, but this is God's design of one man and one woman being united under his blessing. We hear the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 19. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear gathered guests, family and friends, best man and matron of honor, and especially you, Paul and Janice, on this your special day. Janice is a regular in my Bible classes, so she knows some of my tricks. And she knows that I like to ask questions like this. You're not allowed to answer, though. Why are we here today? What are the circumstances that brought the two of you to be here today as husband and wife? Is it that the two of you chose to be here today? You met one another and want to be married? Or is it that God directed your lives to bring you here together today? I like to ask those kinds of either-or questions, and Janice knows from my classes that when I ask an either-or question, the correct answer is yes. There are two reasons that are equally valid as to why we are here today. On the one hand, you chose to be here today. There are life circumstances that led you here. Someone went on Lutherans Online, and someone else went on Lutherans Online, and someone met someone else, and someone seemed to get along with someone else to the point that here we are today, seeing the two of you united as husband and wife. That is an entirely true reason why we are here today. But it is also entirely true at the same time to say that the Lord God, who planned out your life before you were born, arranged your circumstances so that the two of you would be united in holy marriage today. So which is it? The answer is yes. You have chosen to be here today, but God has brought the two of you here together today. Jesus said at the end of the gospel that we just heard, "What God has joined together, let man not separate." And when we hear those words, we often hear them as a command. But if you think about it, those words are really a tremendous comfort and assurance and promise that God is the one who is bringing the two of you together today. And that always seems obvious at a wedding. Everybody's happy to be here. You guys look like a million bucks. Everybody is happy. We're going to have a great celebration later this evening. Everybody's smiling. This is the kind of day that says this was meant to be. But those days don't always happen either. Luther, when he prepared a marriage service for the brand new Lutheran congregations of his day, his service looked a little bit different than the one that we're using today. Luther started out with the vows. Hans and Gretel, or whoever they were, said their I do's right away. And then immediately after, then he got into the Word of God and the preaching and the explanation. They didn't have a chance to rethink things before they made their vows. And then he went in and he told them the realities of married life together. There's a little exhortation or address in Luther's marriage service. And Luther teaches the husband and wife 3 points about marriage. And the middle point is interesting. Luther talks about the fact that there is a cross in marriage. There are challenges and struggles that we face sometimes because we live in a sinful world. The 40-year-old preacher who stands before you today doesn't need to tell you that. You know that life has its challenges. You know that life has its crosses, and that there are things that come into our lives that certainly test our faith, and that are challenges, the effects of living in a fallen world, but challenges that God uses to draw us closer to himself. And in marriage, challenges that God uses to draw us closer to one another. It's good for us to remember that, because when those days come, sometimes it feels like, hey, God, is this your plan all along? Is this your design all along? The reason we have those wonderings and those struggles is, of course, the result of sin coming into this world. But look at what our Savior Jesus has done to address the sin that affects our lives and affects our world. Jesus is often called the bridegroom of the church. And what did Jesus do for his bride? He loved his bride perfectly and wholeheartedly. He sacrificed himself completely for his bride. He died. He went to the cross to fully pay the price for your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world. And he rose again to assure you and me and all who trust in Christ that heaven is our eternal home, that forgiveness is ours through faith in the risen Lord Jesus. This was God's plan for you and for all of you, for all of us, from all eternity. And so if that was God's perfect plan to restore us, to undo the consequences of our sin, to make us a part of his family forever, if that was part of God's plan for you, then can you not also trust this part of God's plan? Certainly we do today. But when the challenges come, when the crosses come, as they always do in life, to know and have that absolute certainty that God has brought us together, that you are God's gift to each other, that you have that absolute certainty that the God who planned your salvation also planned your marriage here today. The God who forgives you for the sake of his son Jesus enables you to forgive one another. The God who loves you perfectly enables you to love each other from this day forward. This gives you such security in your new life together, which begins this day. You know that God wants the two of you to be together. You know there is no challenge, there is no cross that you cannot face and overcome. You know that you are God's gifts to each other. A wedding is, of course, a day when we receive many gifts, but really the greatest gift, besides the gift of God's Son, of course, that we remember today, and in every Christian service, the greatest gift that God has given you today is one another. He is bringing the two of you together today, and that's why this is a day that you will cherish. You can remember it because of the beautiful ceremony, the beautiful dinner, the friendship and fellowship that we have with friends and family, but you can especially remember it and cherish it because this is the fulfillment of God's plan for you. And Paul and Janice, we pray that God bless you from this day forward as his couple living under his grace. Amen. I invite the congregation to turn to the sheet of paper with the outline of today's service. On the back side of that sheet, you will find the hymn for this service. I invite you to join with me to sing the hymn, the three stanzas of the hymn, "Go My Children with My Blessing." Friends, when God in love created the world, he made man and woman in his own image and bonded them together in marriage. Through this blessed union of husband and wife, God established the family, provided for the physical and spiritual welfare of children, and fostered the peace and stability of society. God intended marriage to bring loving companionship to the people of his world. But because of sin, the joy of marriage was soon overcast with sorrow, and the harmony of family life was shattered by strife. Out of love, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take away the sins of all people. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness and is enabled by the Holy Spirit to live in peace and joy. God's love for you is boundless. He commands you in response to his love to love each other. Love is forgiving and enduring. Love shows itself in truth and faithfulness, in thoughtfulness and understanding, in patience and kindness. Marriage furnishes a unique opportunity to put this love into practice. The pattern for Christian marriage is the intimate union of Christ and his church, which the Apostle Paul depicts in Ephesians chapter 5. After urging believers to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, he makes this application for Christian spouses. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It is reverence for Christ on the part of husband and wife that lays the foundation for Christian marriage. You have come here to be united in marriage, which consists in your mutual consent, sincerely and freely given. You are now invited to declare this intent in the presence of God and of these witnesses. Paul, will you take Janus to be your wife? Will you be guided by the counsel and direction God has given in his word and love your wife as Christ loved the church? Will you be faithful to her, cherish her, support her, and help her in sickness and in health as long as you both shall live? If so, then answer, I will. Janus, will you take Paul to be your husband? Will you be guided by the counsel and direction God has given in his word and submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ? Will you be faithful to him, cherish him, support him, and help him in sickness and in health as long as you both shall live? If so, then answer, I will. Join your right hands and make your promises to each other. Paul, repeat after me. I, Paul, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take you, Janus, to be my wife.
Take you, Janus, to be my wife.
I promise to be faithful to you.
I promise to be faithful to you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
Janus, repeat after me. I, Janus,
in the presence of God and of these witnesses,
take you, Paul, to be my husband.
Take you, Paul, to be my husband.
I promise to be faithful to you.
I promise to be faithful to you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
Exchange rings as a symbol of the lifelong commitment and abiding love which you as husband and wife have promised each other. Janus, receive this ring.
Janus, receive this ring.
As a symbol of my love and faithfulness.
As a symbol of my love and faithfulness.
Paul, receive this ring.
Paul, receive this ring.
As a symbol of my love and faithfulness. By their promises, Paul and Janus have bound themselves together in marriage before God and these witnesses. Therefore, I declare that they are husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those whom God has joined together, let no one separate. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit preserve you in faithfulness, strengthen you in love, and guide you to life's end. I invite the congregation to please stand for prayer. Eternal God, source of love, help Paul and Janus to fulfill the promises they have made here today and to reflect your steadfast love in their love for each other. Give them kindness and patience, affection and understanding, happiness and contentment. Use their family and friends to support them in difficult days, that their love for each other may continue to grow as long as they live. Gracious Father, in your goodness you bring people together into families and enrich their lives with abundant blessings. Renew the love of husbands and wives, parents and children, that they may strengthen and support each other on the way that leads to our heavenly home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I now have the privilege to present to you Reverend and Mrs. Paul and Janus Goddard.